It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh at the Kia Studios. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in. Looks like everybody else wants to complain about the cold. I'm looking outside at no rain. Going to be a sunny day. Looks like a beautiful day for football tonight and a lot of big prep football in and around the area as we get into round two of the high school football playoffs. And, of course, that will be leading us up to the worst Saturday of the season in college football. We'll discuss that later in the program. Now this tease, Tatars is terrible. I mean, it is awful on bad games.
You're still going to watch.
Oh, darn right.
You're the type of person that, John, you complain about stuff, but you still do it anyway. This would be the perfect time. What you about to say, John?
I complain about cutting the grass, and I still do it anyway.
Yes. That's what I was about to say. This would be a perfect time for you to catch up with some of that yard work or play with LC and Archie.
The Falcons play Friday. No, it's a Falcons Friday. They play Sunday.
I don't know why you disrespect. You need to show Elsie and Archie some more love than what you're doing, John.
I don't think the cats can hear
you. Are
you
a
can,
new.
You can yell,
but you have a
loud.
New. You have new Look, family members.
I've already gotten one text this morning from the real estate maven saying no Subway because it's date night. You know, because she knows how I feel.
Know. Oh, you can't eat Subway?
Not a date night.
You can't. When can you eat Subway though?
Well, on my own.
Like before you get home,
yeah, right.
And then you have to like run upstairs and brush your teeth real quick, so she won't know you.
I'll tell her I had it. No, she didn't care if I have it. I'm just not taking her to Subway.
He's already told you how he does it while he's driving.
Yeah.
Now you do date night every Friday.
Yeah,
that's really good, man. That's really good, bro.
I mean, but that's why like you that. Are still happily.
You ain't lying.
Hashtag gold.
You know, so it'll either be Henry's AT tonight. Or Fish Time. There's another restaurant called Fish Time that's just on.
Oh, I've been to Fish Time.
Oh, Fish Time, really
Fish Time
good.
Is really, really good. Yes,
yeah, Fish Time's really good.
Do they have catfish?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, actually, yes, they do. Yeah, Fish Time's really. And it's not just. It's a more of a white linen kind of fish. It's there. And
does that mean you have to dress up?
Yeah, shorts clothes? Will not work
no,
there.
Yeah.
You have to wear swanky clothes. You can count me out.
No sweats allowed.
Yeah.
You can count me out.
No shoes, no shirts, no service. And he's actually more Chesney. He's more like no shoes, no shirts, no problem. Falcons play Sunday at 1 o'clock. Of course, our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is a lot of fun. We encourage you to go. It's right there on Northside Drive across from the Gold Deck. Starts at 9 in the morning. And don't give me anything about it. It's a little chilly. I say, go out there, have fun. You know, the games are out there. The food's out there. We have a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun to go out and tailgate. In and around Atlanta Falcons games. So go out there to the –
It's some fun, man. Yeah, it really is fun.
Really
fun
is.
Time.
And then, of course, that leads you to the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff at 11 a.m. with Mike and Hugh from the AT&T Perch. And, of course, the game at 1 with Wes, Dave, and John Michaels from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And by the way, our official watch party, if you can't make it to the game, will be at Taco Mac Prado on Sunday at noon. We'll have Freddie the Falcon and the cheerleaders out at Taco Mac Prado at noon Sunday. A lot of prizes to give away with that. So there's a lot of ways to do the game. You can go to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. You can certainly go to the game. You can listen to the game on 92.9 The Game. You can go to the official watch party at Taco Mac and Prado. So be part of this game because I think it's going to be a very interesting game. And I expect you, and I've said this before we get into some of our keys to the game, to brace ourselves for the fact that we could have an onslaught of people wearing stars on their faces.
Oh, no. You best believe it's going to be packed. Dallas Cowboy fans, you can say what you want about them. They travel well. They don't travel well to Dallas because they don't go to. They actually like. They don't go to the Dallas Cowboy games. They kind of like watch them on TV and proclaim their fandom that way. So yeah, there'll be a lot of fans there. Yeah, I'm hating a little bit.
Hey, listen, I'm with you on the hate thing. I'm totally down with it. We're gonna do something kind of interesting later in the program. We're gonna go live to Dallas and talk to their morning show. We're gonna do that later in the program in the 9 o'clock hour, and that should be. We had those guys on last year, and they were trying to convince us that Dallas was gonna win the game, and of course we whacked them. They're gonna try and convince us today that Dallas is gonna win the game, and of course we're gonna whack them again. So that'll be that, and that's the bad thing if you're a Cowboys fan and you're going to the game on Sunday. Brace for bad news. It's not gonna be a good look for you. I'm just saying. Did you know that the Falcons, by the way, are ahead of the Cowboys in the standings? You wouldn't think for all the talk this week. Now it's tiebreakers. I get that, but they're still ahead of them. The Falcons are actually ahead of the Cowboys.
I'm just gonna leave it like that. I'm not gonna be a Debbie Downer today. Yes, you're right, John. You're right.
I mean, technically, they're ahead of the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, they are.
The Falcons getting ready for this game. Marquand Manuel. There was a lot of discussion about the defense last week, and Coach Manuel. You may recall that Wednesday, Devondre Campbell came out, and we played the sound for you yesterday, and Devondre said, look, going into the Cleveland game, I could sense that on Wednesday, on practice day for the Cleveland game, we were kind of just going through the motions. And I'm paraphrasing here, Hugh, but we were like, eh. And from the eh all the way through the game, which was eh, they never got fired up, right? I mean, so there had to be some kind of come-to-Jesus moment with this team. And Marquand Manuel said this team had a come-to-Jesus moment on Wednesday preparation for the Cowboys this week.
Wednesday was an awesome day. I told the guys just now, actually, that's a championship practice. That is how you practice. You practice with the effort and intent that I don't know what play is going to be. I have to give it everything, every single play, every single day. That way I never have to turn it on and off.
Yeah, I guess I just have to treat Cleveland as a one-off, Hugh. It's just not like this team to have had that kind of performance.
You can if you want to, John. I mean, I'm still can't wrap my mind around that. I'm not trying to be negative, but again, I always go back to you climbing out of the hole. You're not out of the hole yet. You can see the daylight, but you're still climbing out of the hole. I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, I know there's been times where, you know, you've been laxed and you go back and you try to go back to your fundamentals. Coach Quinn talks about that all the time. But I don't understand how a team in the position that the Atlanta Falcons are in could that just be considered a one-off? I mean, to be totally honest, full disclosure here, because if that's the case, John, this team does not deserve to be a playoff caliber squad. I mean, because looking at the Cleveland Browns on paper, mm-hmm. like, okay, just say, for instance, if you didn't feel that the Cleveland Browns were talented. Let's just say you go into the game and you don't feel like they're talented. By looking at film, you had to have seen that they've been into some close games. Because you go back four games. You at least watch a cut-up of their last four games. And out of the last four games, they've been in at least two of them. They've been in the game. And as a player, I would look at that and be like, damn, okay. They got some things there. And then on this, I know on the breakdown, they have the stats of Baker Mayfield. I think at the time, Baker Mayfield had thrown like 10 touchdowns. He wasn't even a starter. He wasn't even a starter. I'm sitting here and I'm charting Dallas's plays. Baker Mayfield's thrown 10 touchdowns and he wasn't the full-time starter. Dak Prescott has thrown 11. Baker Mayfield has like, if it's not 1,500 yards, it's like 1,700 yards in the time that he's been starting. Dak Prescott got 1,900. So I'm looking at that, and I'm like, they got some pieces. This is a team not to be taken lightly. Not just for the loss, but like, hey, man, I don't want to be the squad that loses to the Cleveland Browns. So that to me, listen, I'm not, like I said, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to harp on what's already been discussed. But I don't see this as – I'm like, man, come on. You got to get it together. I don't see how you can go into a game and overlook the Cleveland Browns.
Well, what do you have to do this week to beat the Dallas Cowboys? Bruce Irvin has his key to the game. This is what Bruce said.
You seen in Cleveland last week, those guys did a great job of keeping us off balance and getting us in third and ones and third and twos for themselves. We really couldn't really tee off and rush the passer. So I think the big thing is just stopping 21 and hit him early and let him know that it's going to be a physical game and, you know, just guys got to rally to the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be much more like Saquon Barkley or Adrian Peterson and a hell of a lot less like Nick Chubb, because that's my number one key to this game, Hugh. See Dak, sack Dak. They got to get to the quarterback like they did last year.
Yeah, they do, John. And I think that one of the keys to the game is, of course, to stop Zeke, because Zeke's looking at that film and Zeke's licking his chops. Zeke's looking at that film and thinking to himself that he's about to have a banner day. And that's what you can't have it do. And you got to take advantage of that banged-up defense. Like I said, I'm sitting there charting plays. All across their defensive line, they had guys that were questionable. They had three guys that were held out this week, didn't practice. One of them was Taco Charlton. I know they got Randy Gregory as a backup, but Taco Charlton is the starting right defensive end for them. So you have to try to take advantage of that defense. Another thing is let Matt Ryan get into a rhythm. Let him get established. I think part of the problem last week was that, you know, Matt had to throw it a lot because Matt couldn't find his rhythm. He couldn't get into a rhythm. So let him get into a rhythm early, And another thing, John, establish the run. I mean, we've been talking about that for the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Allow them to establish the run.
Yeah, well, they got to get running downhill early and stay with it. And it has been a sore spot. And we talked about, yes, you're playing from behind when you're down 18 in the third quarter and you're going to end up throwing the ball. But 52 passes, 19 rushes last week, way out of balance for this team. They've got to establish the run. And again, we go back to that old saw because we said it earlier in the show. Run the ball, stop the run, win the game. And that's exactly, even in this day of high-flying NFL, you know, the quarterbacks throw for 6,000 yards. If you control the run game on both sides of the ball, odds are you're going to have a chance, if not win the game. The second that you don't, when you're on the downside of that, you see what happens. You get into a whole world of trouble. Because when you control the run game, then you force the other team, like Cleveland did, to the Falcons to be one-dimensional, and you could just sit back and pin your ears back as a rusher or sit back in deep zone coverage. Or the other thing, of course, is if you run the ball, the other team doesn't know what you're getting, and they have to kind of creep up closer and bring those safeties tight, and then you can hit them over the top. So, I mean, everything is dependent upon the run game. The run game, Hugh, is it fair to say, isn't it, in this NFL, that even with the high-flying passers, you still need the run game to set up the pass game?
Most teams that are successful and make it to the playoffs can run the ball in December and January. I mean, that's been a staple of the NFL even before I played the game. So it's one of those things. Yeah, the high flying, like scoring a lot of points is great. Being able to push the ball down the field is great. But you look at the game last night with 4 minutes left on the clock, Seattle had came down and scored. They got the ball back. They stopped Green Bay. They get the ball back. You have to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to run the ball. If you can't run the ball, then you don't have a great chance of making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, how many times have we seen the Falcons in a situation in a late game? You know, even this year, where the Falcons had the ball late in the game, could have salted the game away if they could have gotten a third down and one. If they could have run the ball, you get one more first down, you win the game, right? Cincinnati, you get one more first down, you win that game. Because Cincinnati wouldn't have enough time to throw a touchdown pass to beat you. You got to be able to run the ball. That simple. Especially with the Falcons and third down and one, or third down and a half yard from the goal line, which at this point... By the way, can we just go to that for a second? At this point, we used on Terry Poe last year, remember? And then we got away from it. If you're not going to put Ricky Ortiz in the active roster, why not develop, I don't know, Hugh, Grady or Deidrin or somebody, and go with a fridge package like Clemson comes out. Have you ever seen the fridge package they do with Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins? They put both of them out there.
So you're talking about college and the pros. You can't do that every week. Because now you've scouted, like team scout that, they'll be looking for it. That's not going to work all the time. You do that you do that as a wrinkle, I would think.
Where do we stand in the NFL wildcard division? Because as Brian Billick said, I'm going to take him at his word because I think he's right. When he said it yesterday, and you may have heard it this morning, yep, you're right. The Falcons no longer play in the NFC South. The division they play in is the NFC wildcard. And there was a big NFC wildcard game last night in Seattle. That's all next after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Regardless of the outcome Saturday night, two college coaches deserve salutes for their surprisingly successful seasons. Remember how UAB's football program was shut down in late 2014, only to be reinstated 6 months later? Well, Bill Clark stayed with the program through two brutal years of fundraising, recruiting, and rebuilding from scratch. I've always been a sucker for reclamation projects, he told ESPN. Clark's 9-1 Blazers have already clinched the Conference USA West as they head to College Station, where they had originally been expected to be cannon fodder for Texas A&M, only now an upset seems possible. Meantime, everyone snickered last December when Arizona State hired Herm Edwards, who hadn't coached in 10 years. At 6-4, Edwards' squad can capture the Pac-12 South if they beat Oregon and Arizona. You can bet Herm's Sun Devils know you play to win the game. I'm Boomer Esiason.
There's Black Friday, and then there's Pro Black Friday at the Home Depot. Special savings for pros on pro-grade brands to get the job done right. This Pro Black Friday, Pro Extra members get 25% off Behr Premium Plus interior and exterior paint. It's paint and primer in one that works just as well on uncoated surfaces as it does on painted surfaces. The best prices of the season for pros are at Pro Black Friday, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 18th, U.S. only.
Napa Know How. Right now, Napa has 5-quart jugs of Pennzoil or Valvoline full synthetic milk.
For most people, Friday is just a day before the weekend.
Wrapping up the work week with a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Down to the wire they come in the National Football League. Give you the very latest division standings for the Falcons in just a moment and why they do actually own the tiebreak, which is what you don't want to. That's what you don't want to be in that position where we're sitting around, you know, in 2 months talking about tiebreakers. Well, we got the tiebreaker on this and that, or we don't. Man, that'll just drive you batty. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, so in the NFC wildcard division at the moment, the Falcons are currently in fifth place, all right? And because that's the only division that matters. We're not in the NFC South anymore. I'm not even going to look at the NFC South. I'm going to look at the NFC wildcard division, which I just tweeted out. And again, the Falcons are in fifth place in the wildcard. And of course, the top two advance. So we got to get to the top two. Last night, there was a division wildcard division game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers, okay? And they're division members along with the Falcons. And in Seattle, the Seahawks and Russell Wilson did this.
Baldwin wide to the right. The snap throw inside. It's caught. Dixon. Touchdown, Seahawks. And I don't know if Russell audible to that, but if he did, a brilliant play by Russell Wilson.
And the Seahawks used that, and then a decision by Mike McCarthy late in the game to punt it away, which gave the ball back to Seattle. And Seattle, which ran for 173 yards, was able to run the clock out. And Green Bay ends up losing 27-24. So as a result, Hugh Douglas, Carolina leads the division at 6-3. Minnesota is second at 5-3-1, all right, in the wild card division.
Okay.
With the win, Seattle moves into third. They're 5-5. And of course, the Falcons can get to 5-5 if they beat the Cowboys. Green Bay is at 4-5-1. And then the Falcons, Cowboys, and Philadelphia are all 4-5. But the Falcons actually own the tiebreaker. Somebody tweeted in when I said that, and they said, "You must have amnesia. We own the tiebreaker." It's complicated. Dallas owns the tiebreaker over Philadelphia. The Falcons win a tiebreaker in a three-team, which is Atlanta, Dallas, and Philadelphia. The Falcons own the tiebreaker at the moment. But this is why you don't want to have to sit around, even though they lost to Philadelphia. Even though you don't want to sit around and worry about this, Hugh, you want to go in. You know, if you're going to be a wild card team, which is all really they can be at the moment, obviously, because they're not catching New Orleans, is that you have to take care of your business and not worry about tie breaks. But go ahead. I'm just sitting here thinking.
No, John. See, like what you're doing right now, you're doing all that brain wrestling. I like to be straightforward. If I win out, I control my destiny. I mean, and that's how I look at it. I ain't got time to be trying to figure out all these tiebreakers and doing all this math. I need to beat Dallas this weekend. That is my motivation. That's my focus. And then after Dallas, I got to get my mind right and go down into that buzzsaw, which is New Orleans at their Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and handle my business once again. So that means that whatever ails me as far as my body's concerned around this time of the season, I got to block all that out. I have to go play some good football. I have to play the best football that day in order to get to where I want to be, if I really want to be there. That's the bottom line. I can't worry about what the Seattle Seahawks are doing. I can't worry about what the Saints are doing, Carolina, whomever else in my division. Because the bed that I'm in right now, I put myself in there. And I made it even worse for myself last week by losing to Cleveland. So this is what they call the rubber meeting the road, gut check time, and whatever cliche or metaphor you want to use for this situation. That's it. You got to go out there and play. Because, you know, you can rattle your brain and waste all that energy worrying about matchups and who's doing what. No, you got to take care of your business. You take care of your business, you'll be okay.
Well, the odd thing is the Bucs play the Giants this week, and, of course, at the moment the Bucs are not a factor. But the Saints play the Eagles in the Swamp. The interesting thing for the Falcons is you're actually kind of hoping that, yeah, those guys win. That would actually be a better result for you, believe it or not, because you're tied with Philadelphia. So, in a way, the best possible result over the next 5 days is that you beat Dallas, the Eagles lose in the Swamp, and then you win in the Swamp. That's the best possible result over the next 5 days. That and maybe Carolina stubbing its own toe. The Panthers, by the way, play on the road, and they play the Lions. God, the Lions. You want to talk about a team I can't figure out? That team. I have no clue what the Lions are going to do on a week-to-week basis.
They probably don't even know.
Man, there are weeks where they look like, oh, you know, a pretty good football team. And then they go out and they just lay a turd of turds. And you go, okay, they stink. I don't know. I can't figure that club out for nothing. But, yeah, so in the NFC wildcard division, let's just put it this way. If you look at it from a 4-5 standpoint for getting tiebreakers, the Falcons are 4-5. If they win their next two, if they beat Dallas and the Saints, there's a chance. There's a chance that they are in the wild card at that point. So anybody who says the season's over, look, I still say, Hugh, that if you're coming out of the Arizona game at 7-7, you're going to have a shot. And so at this point, with two games to go, you'd have a shot. So if you, so you got to get to 7-7. I would prefer to be 8-6. But that's asking a lot because you got to go 4-1 to get there.
No, and I hear you, John. But right now, for me, the game that I'm most concerned about is this one, because you just come off a game where you gave up like what 200 some odd yards on the ground.
211.
And you got a dude that's leapfrogging folks, and looks like he's found his mojo.
Yeah,
I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, and then you know you hear, I mean, nobody's come out and said it, but with some of the people talking, and these are like trigger words for me, looks, different looks that they saw that weren't scouted. Like, you know, there's a little confusion on that defensive line about what they were running and everything. Okay, if I'm a defensive coordinator, excuse me, if I'm an offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at that going, huh, I know how to get this team. I know how to get this defense off kilter. Do something they haven't seen in a while. Do something they haven't seen. Like, throw some plays in there. And you best believe there are going to be some looks that they saw from the Cleveland Browns that they're going to see again this week. Do something that they're not accustomed to and watch pandemonium ensue. I mean, basically, that's what you're saying. When you say stuff like, well, you know, there were some looks that weren't scouted and stuff like that. Okay, we were confused. Like, stop using the big word. We were confused, a little bit confused, and guys didn't know how to handle it. Okay, you need to figure out how to handle that because you're going to see that again. It's a copycat league. It's a copycat league, and other teams are going to do that. So you need to learn. You need to figure out how to handle that.
Talking about the NFC's wildcard division on a Falcons Friday with John and Hugh, where the only division now, and this is going to be my focus from this point on, is the NFC's wildcard division. I'm not going to worry about the NFC South no more. Yeah, okay, fine, all you GEAUX people. You know, I'm waving the white flag. All right, fine, okay. But that doesn't mean we ain't going to come down to the swamp and bring our A game. We are going to do that on Thursday. You can bank on that. Can we put something to rest, though, on our Twitter? You and I, this morning.
What you got, John?
How many times have you and I seen Dan Quinn is on the hot seat? He's not on the hot seat. Stop.
I probably haven't seen as much as you. I've seen people have been in their feelings, no question about that.
But not so much
like, you know, firing Dan Quinn. Like a lot of people are mad. Well, how can you do this and how can you do that? And some people are dug in and they're gonna feel the way that they feel regardless. And for those folks, you can't explain it to them in a way that they will understand. So you just kinda let them go. You know, you just let them be who they are. Dan Quinn's not going to get fired. This is still a good football team. And when you look at it from the perspective of probably, you know, the owner's perspective, Arthur Blank, he's doing a hell of a job of coaching a team that has been decimated by injuries. Now, I know that the Cleveland Brown game is one of those ones that, like, wow, that is bananas. Cleveland only has won like 5 games in the last 3 years or something crazy like that, or maybe 4 games or whatever. But Cleveland, if you look at it, they have talent all around the place. They really do. Baker Mayfield is going to be a talented quarterback. I gave you his stats early. He's thrown for 10 touchdowns already, probably more than that. Well, going into the game, he threw for 10 touchdowns. So they're a talented team. So people tend to forget that. You know, because they're looking at the record and what they are and everything else. But they have some players on that squad, you know. But this is a talented football team that has been decimated by injuries. So much so that Coach Marquand Manuel, has been piecemealing this defense together. And you're 4-5. with every level of defenders hurt, and you're still alive and you're still in this playoff hunt. I think that's pretty impressive. I really do.
Falcons and Cowboys, our coverage begins with the Wait For It tailgate show at 9. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11. And then call the game, 1 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, live on your home with the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also, your home for the Atlanta Hawks, who, man, this road trip is not being real kind to them. We'll update you on where the Hawks stand as they try to wrap up a road trip and head back home. That's next with John and Hugh on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The game is just days away, and we're talking Falcons with a Falcons Friday.
What about Friday?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons Friday with John and Hugh. Bright sunshine, a little low clouds, but not raining, so that's good news. Even if it's a little chilly out there, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day for Friday night football. By the way, I just posted a picture up on the Twitter. I'm gonna do it. I say it's Rise Up Rally Beard Redemption. Now we're going to roll. I'm going to do it again, Hugh.
And do some what,
people,
John?
Well, because some people said, you know, you had to shave after they lost, after they won three in a row, which I did. But if I just shaved and kept shaving to me, I would be giving up. I'm going to do it again. If we go 3-1 again like we did the first time, we're going to be in good shape.
Yes, Daryl. I'm going to let Daryl speak first.
No. I'm just using logic like I normally do. Are you going to do this every time?
Every time they lose?
Well, if they go 3-1 every time I grow a beard, yeah.
Okay, no,
I'll do this. I'll go three and lose and shave my beard. I'll do that for the next 32 years.
Okay, I'm down.
I don't know what to say about you, John. To me, it just makes no sense. But if that's what you feel, John, do what you feel. You could have just kept the beard that you had.
Why didn't you just keep it?
No. Because I said I would shave as soon as they lost.
You did.
But who told you that you wouldn't shave? I didn't think you would keep it that long, but nobody actually forced you to shave.
You didn't even think I would keep it till Halloween.
I didn't. And now I don't see the purpose of you growing it back. But because if that's what you want to do, that's fine.
It's my way of just jumping on my, you know, my bandwagon.
It's your way of keeping a beard, really, because you really want a beard.
No.
John. See, that's my logic coming through. Okay.
Let me tell you what happened.
Ruin it, Daryl.
I'm sorry. Okay.
John's using his radio. He's using the radio to try to mask what really happened. He promised the real estate maven.
All right, thanks, guys.
That he, yeah.
Hell of a lot. You're not helping.
We're no, I'm just saying. That's what happened. And he said, baby, I'm going to cut it when they lose. So in order for him not to be, you know, a fibber, he cut it. Now he wanted it back. I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I didn't.
We solved this mystery.
You should have just rolled right along with what I was doing here.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, date night is really going to get off to a great start.
Oh, boy. Sorry, John.
It would have been fine. I had it scoped. I put it on Twitter.
Yeah, because then I was like, hey, I'm going to ride with him again.
Yeah.
Because it's just starting to play again. I just cut it because I kind of like the beard, but I didn't want to be a
storyteller. John, if you see that logical look in my eyes, just stop me, please.
I didn't want to be a fibber.
It was I had a carefully crafted remember when I shaved it, I said, I've got an announcement on Friday.
You did.
Okay, this was the announcement.
But everybody knew your announcement, John.
Yeah, we kind of knew it. Yeah, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, but there's one person in particular that didn't.
Okay.
Now she knows.
Love you, real estate maven.
You know, I had veggie tots last night, and they were very tasty.
I just wanted to put that out there.
I had some broccoli veggie tots. I've been trying something different.
It's like a casserole.
It's not a casserole, Daryl. It's a veggie tot. I got some Green Giant veggie tots last night.
Actually, sounds pretty good.
Some tater tots.
So tater tots made of vegetables?
Uh-huh. Yes, because they got. I guess they did it for the kids, mm-hmm. is to get kids to eat their vegetables. Because mm-hmm. they have broccoli tots,
right? Broccoli and cheese tots,
and they have broccoli and cheese.
Are they shaped like dinosaurs too, Hugh?
Are made out of cauliflower? No, they're made like tater tots, Daryl.
See, but that sounds good to me. Why bake them?
Why you doing it, Daryl?
You said they were made for children.
Well, I'm thinking that they're made to get children to eat their vegetables.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But they're pretty good. They're pretty good, and it's a healthy alternative to eating
tater tots.
Well, not really, because it's a lot of sodium in them, but they're pretty good.
Well, yeah, probably a lot of sodium. But, I mean, broccoli or potato, I mean, if you make a tot out of it, what's the difference?
Well, does it taste like a normal tater tot?
It tastes like a broccoli tot.
But if you put ketchup on it, then it tastes like a tater tot because it's got the same consistency.
I haven't had the actual cauliflower tater tots yet, so I don't know what they taste like. But the broccoli tots were pretty good.
Yeah, I tried both of them. It's not exactly fast food.
I know it didn't have anything to do with what we were talking about. I just felt like sharing.
Yeah, because it is a, like, well, but you never know. I mean, one of the chains could come up with broccoli tots as a thing.
It's not a casserole.
Who knows? Because it is National Fast Food Day. Man, all you people out there who are in your feelings about the fact that I happen to love Subway, I mean, you want me to try your sub sandwich. I get it. I mean, yeah, I like, again, there's only one chain, and I'm not going to mention them that I don't care for.
I will tell you this, that, like, the smaller mom-and-pop places that make sandwiches, mm-hmm. some of them places do make some really good sandwiches.
Yeah, but some of the big places, too. I mean, are you a Schlotzky guy?
I've eaten Schlotzky sandwiches. Like yeah. I told you, I like Jimmy John's. I like Jimmy John's. I like the fact that, that Jimmy John's makes nice sandwiches.
Firehouse is good.
You know, I haven't had Firehouse sub yet.
Yeah, Firehouse good. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of good Subways. A lot of good sub places. Hawks last night got worked. Oh, did they get
like
worked?
Like a shift.
Oof, man, it was ugly. The Hawks got just brutalized by Phil Millsap and the Denver Nuggets.
What?
Well, who was it who said that?
It was my sister, Nisha Butler, and you will leave her alone.
Okay. See, now we're even.
Shout out to Nisha Butler.
Okay, I see what you're doing, John. Okay. Phil Millsap it is.
Yeah,
Phil Millsap. Jokic, two-hand pass, goes down low to Paul Millsap. He puts it up and in, and a foul on the play. So Paul's got 17 now. He's only averaging 12.7 this year.
Yeah, well, it was 138-93.
Ooh. That was a little bit of a beatdown.
Mm, man. 138-93. 45-point loss to the Denver. And Denver had lost four games in a row.
They got right.
And then they got to go to Indiana and play Victor Oladipo. Is Victor, who's the best player that nobody talks about when we talk about great players in the NBA? Is it Victor Oladipo or Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker been balling. Like, I got a chance to see him play with when they played the Hawks a couple weeks ago. He's balling.
Because Kemba, while Kemba's an all-star, multiple-time all-star, he's still playing for a team that really hasn't done much in the playoffs. Indiana does have a little bit of history and heritage and what have you. But Victor has certainly been a surprise because once he left Orlando to go to Oklahoma City, he kind of hit a wall. And no one ever people were looking at his pick as a possible disappointment at that particular point in time. Now he's on fire in Indiana.
Yeah, I guess he just went back to a place he was comfortable because he played college ball there. And, not bad. Anyway, that's either here or there. Trae Young is speaking of hitting a wall. Am I wrong? Guys, 2 of 12 the other night, 2 of 11 last night, correct?
We knew this was going to be a struggle. I mean, this is again, when I watch the Hawks, it's almost with limited emotion. I'm not going to say without emotion. It's with limited emotion because I don't, it's going to be a struggle. He's going to struggle. He's going to have nights where he's hitting 25. And he's going to have nice when he goes for six. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just him maturing and being able to play in the NBA. It's probably going to get worse, John, before it gets any better.
Yeah, and it may.
I mean, really, it may be that. So it's one of those things where when you're told that, it's a reclamation project, if you will, or if it's, we're building for the future, then you have, in my mind, you have to take everything that goes along with that. And that is what we're going through right now with the young player. I mean, he has good nights. At the beginning of the season, he was showing flashes of what he could potentially be. Now we're in the valley with him. So, I mean, you just take it as it comes.
Well, some of the good news here is that the road trip will end mercifully tomorrow against Indiana. And then they come home. Now, it's a brutal homestand. It's the Clippers, Toronto, Boston, Charlotte. There's a lot of really good teams coming in. But they should get John Collins back. So at least we'll have the first look of Torian Prince, John Collins, and Trae Young, and that kind of triumvirate of the future of the Atlanta Hawks. And we know what this season is. We understand. It's a new stadium, new coach, new team season, and then next year you get a couple more pieces.
And we'll see where we are.
And then the next year you get a couple more, and now we're rolling.
I just hope that when John Collins comes back, that he doesn't wear the same kind of shorts that Kent Bazemore wears.
You're wearing?
That's my biggest. John, my shorts are not young. They go below the knee.
Nah, bro, those are some young shorts.
These are not young shorts. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. These are not young.
Hugh Douglas, fashionista.
And that's all that I ask.
College football braces for the worst Saturday of the season. Beat down Saturday, whatever Hugh calls it. It's all coming up as we look ahead next. With John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game.